Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us, whether you're in your car or some of you great truckers out there riding around listening on XM, or maybe you're at home alone. I've got a great guest that I just love being with. I love having her on the program, and she was on the 700 Club today by Skype, and so we're fortunate to Skype her also, and she's written a new book. Now, as I said to her earlier, I doubt that she'd ever go on a station and they'd say, yeah, well, it really wasn't that great a book. But when I say it's a great book, it's a great book. So join me in welcoming Joyce Meyer. Joyce, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Now, one of the things that you said about this book, You Can Begin Again, and I totally agree. It's kind of like the ultimate teaching of Scripture wrapped up right here in this title, that you can begin again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's, you know, when we receive Christ as our Savior, that's the ultimate new beginning.
It really is.
You know, of course, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are made brand new. I mean, what an amazing scripture that is.
That is.
If you really, you know, I think sometimes we read things too fast, and we don't really comprehend. I mean, my goodness, what a statement. If you're in Christ, you become a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become brand new. And, you know, then, of course, right after that, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we go from having total wrongness and feeling wrong about everything and feeling that we're wrong and everything's wrong, and to having right standing with God, and it all comes as a gift of his grace. And so if he's willing to give us that new beginning, why would he not be willing to give us any other new beginning that we need in our life? And, you know, really, Steve, if you do a little search on the word new in the Bible, I mean, we have everything from a new heaven and a new earth to a new creation to you can't put new wine and old wineskins, and we have to renew our minds, and his mercy is new every day. It's just, he gives us a new name. So it's just all over the place. God really, I don't think he has a reverse gear, and he doesn't have a park. He's always straightforward.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, I think so many people don't believe that all things have become new. They don't have a new perspective on their life. And I think if they will stay with us before we're finished here today, as we talk about this, and if they'll get this book, because there's so much more in this book than we can talk about today, they're going to understand what new really is. Because new doesn't mean that you've been perfect or that you're striving for perfection. New just means God's grace is there for you. Whether you've blown it big or blown it little, it's there for you.
Well, and
no matter what.
That's exactly right.
The subtitle says, no matter what, it is never too late. And so we'll take a break, and we come back. We're going to spend some time asking Joyce some questions about this great book, You Can Begin Again. And, you know, Joyce has written over 100 inspirational books, but this is the one I think that our audience might need the most, because you've been living in regret and you've been living in shame, or you feel less than, or that God has blessed everyone but you. or you've gone too far and sinned too much. Well, it's just not true. And I think if you will get this book, you're going to find out that anyone can begin again, especially you.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Washington, D.C., July 18th through the 20th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburn.
And I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now, and the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Joyce Meyer, the great book, You Can Begin Again. And Joyce, maybe we could just start by talking about you. And you have a story of beginning again, really beginning again and again. And maybe you could share that with
and
our
again
audience.
And again and again.
Yeah.
You know, of course, one of the big stories that I tell in my life is about being sexually abused by my father for, I guess, right around 15 years and on a very regular basis. My mom, being a very fearful person, she knew what he was doing, but she was afraid to do anything about it. So I was abused by my dad, abandoned by my mother, and even reached out to some other people within the family for help. And, you know, back in the days when I was dealing with this, sexual abuse was not even anything that anybody talked about. It was just,
right,
you never even heard about it. So nobody really wanted to deal with it or get involved. So I finally just had to settle in, and I thought, this is my life, and I'm just going to survive. And then when I did finally leave home at the age of 18, I had the misconception that my problem was over because I was walking away from it. But it took me a number of years to realize that I took the problem with me. It was just in my soul now. It was in the way I thought. It was in the way I felt. It was in my will. I had a lot of rebellion. I didn't feel right about myself. And so even though I was a Christian, and I want to specify that I was a Christian, I had received Christ, I went to church on a regular basis, I loved God, but I did not have my mind renewed to the Word of God. And so, you know, in helping people have a new beginning, it's one thing for us to tell them it's there for you, but nobody can make them act on it if they won't pay attention to how they think and begin to realize that it's that a lot of times it's our own, what I call, stinking thinking that keeps us in bondage. And so I've had to learn that I can't live my life by how I feel or what I think. I need to renew my mind to the Word of God and learn how to think like God thinks.
Well, when you describe how you lived your life, I know there are many men and women that were in a situation like that where they were trapped and they were abused and they thought they were just going to move out and the problem would go away.
Right.
What was it that happened or developed where you said, I need to deal with this in a different way?
Well, I married when I was 18 and just married the first young man that came along because I really thought nobody would ever want me. And so, you know, desperate people do desperate things.
Yeah.
And I knew down deep inside when I married this young man, it probably wasn't going to work, but I was just so fearful of never having anybody love me that I did it anyway. And it was just a ridiculous nightmare of 5 years of being separated and being left in other cities. And finally, toward the end of that relationship, I got pregnant and had a baby, and while I was pregnant, he left me and lived with another woman. And so ultimately, we got a divorce, and then shortly after that, I met the man that I've been married to now for 47 years. And so, you know, one marriage failure doesn't mean that you're going to have another marriage failure.
Right.
And I saw in Dave, and I really like to share this with people because of how important it is that we show people Christ. I saw in Dave, who was a godly man, I saw something different in him than what I had ever seen before. And I think there's so many people in the world that are so hurt and so wounded and they're just so messed up that just telling them about Christ is not even always good enough. You have to show them Christ.
Yes.
And so Dave was steadfast in loving me. And by loving me, I mean that, you know, he could only do what he could do, but Dave was always the same. I love that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Dave was always willing to love me if I would receive it. I saw a peace in him that I had never known because I grew up in turmoil. And ultimately, I got hungry enough for what he had that I began to let God deal with me on a different level. Hmm. I think sometimes, Steve, you have to get really fed up with what you have before you're going to be willing to do anything about it. I think sometimes we have a problem, but we're surviving it, we're managing it, we're dealing with it, and it has to get so bad sometimes that we just can't take it anymore. And literally, I cried out to God one morning in my car, and I said, I cannot go on like this. Hmm. I was just very desperate.
Hmm.
And, you know, when you get desperate enough, you'll let God do what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I can't say that it was an overnight fix because it wasn't. But I stepped out on a journey with God that I just simply say that I finally got serious with God. I was a Christian a long time before I got serious with God. You know, there's a difference in being a churchgoer and being really serious about wanting God's will in your life and wanting to behave the way he wants you to behave. And so I started learning. I got a real hunger for the Word, and I began to really apply the Word to my life. And about the same time, God called me to teach, which doesn't, to me, seem very intelligent, but I guess God knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I guess he did.
I was a disciplined person always in my personality, so God calling me to teach when he did was wise because it made me study. Mm-hmm. I would never get up and try to teach anybody else without having studied. And so, you know, little by little, which the Bible says God changes us little by little from glory to glory, I saw the Word of God working in my life, and I just want your listeners and viewers today to know that if God can change me, he can change anybody, because I had a lot of problems. Now, you wouldn't have known it looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I looked like I was all together and fine, and I held down a good job and didn't look like a mess, but boy, I was a mess inside in my soul. And God's done an amazing work, and he wants to do it for anybody that needs a new beginning.
Well, I think the temptation would have been for you to remain defined by your past and never find that fulfillment. And I believe you started your ministry at, according to the book, at age 42.
Yeah, I had worked in ministry for 10 years prior to that, but I didn't start my own ministry until I was 42. I taught home Bible studies for 5 years, and then I worked at a church for 5 years. But when I was 42, I started. Well, actually, God started. People ask me sometimes, how can I get my ministry started? And I always say, you better hope you don't start it, because if you do, you might have to keep it going.
Yeah.
But God started it, and I had the grace to step out and follow his leadership. And I had 3 teenagers and a baby, and
wow.
Still had a lot of problems in my soul. So let's just say that frustration was my middle name for a good number of years until I really learned how to trust God.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this thing that you call being stuck. And a lot of people are stuck in the past. A lot of people are stuck because they're afraid of the future. And so let's talk about being stuck and in regret and being stuck and wanting it all to be different.
I think we get stuck many times because we really don't believe that we can ever overcome the things of our past. And, you know, a lot of times, Steve, people take being a victim as their identity.
Yes.
Their identity becomes this hurt, wounded, broken person that now we feel sorry for and just has had a bad deal in life and is always going to have a second-rate existence. And we have to be very careful that we don't, in some ways, actually begin to like that. You know, that it kind of becomes who we are and we expect everybody to kind of give us a pass on a lot of things mm-hmm. because we've been hurt. And I know I used my abuse for a long time as an excuse to behave bad. And I recall, of course, you know, the Lord has spoken many things to my heart over the years, but I recall when he shared with me, you have a reason to feel sorry for yourself, but no right to, because I'm willing to change you and give you a new life. So even though we have a reason to sit around in self-pity, I mean, after all, I'd been abused by my dad. I mean, that's not right. You know, a dog shouldn't be treated that way. And my assessment was correct. But if God is willing to give us a new beginning, a brand new life, you know, I mean, I love to say that with God, plan B can be better than plan A ever would have been. And you can't work that out mathematically, but God makes miracles out of messes. And he's actually taken my mess and turned it into a ministry and a life that's a miracle. But the good news is, for anybody listening, is that same thing is available to anybody. So we get stuck because we keep relating to the old thing instead of the new. We get stuck because we believe the lies of the devil. We're believing things that are not true. We get stuck sometimes because being free maybe is too much of an effort. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to do what we need to do in order to be free. And I was thinking about this morning because I thought we might talk about this getting stuck thing. And I was thinking, well, if your car's stuck in the mud, you know, the first thing you're tempted to do is rev your engine up and give it all the power that the car's got trying to get out. And I think sometimes you almost have to get like spiritually violent, and I mean that in a good way. You know, there's a wrong violence, but I think sometimes you just have to say, I will not live like this. Mm-hmm. I hear testimonies of other people that have been set free, and if God can do it for anybody, God can do it for me.
Amen.
Instead of saying, well, why doesn't God do it for me? We need to have that attitude. If anybody can be free, then I can be free, because God is no respecter of persons. I really think that we have to have a little more what I call Holy Ghost oomph. Just,
yes.
You know, saying I'm not gonna do without the freedom that Jesus died for me to have. There has to be some determination to get unstuck.
Well, and nowhere in this book do you say that once you begin again, you're on a path to wealth, or you're on a path to great material things. You're talking about a fulfillment much different than anything that's material or financial.
Yeah, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom and things will be added. We never have to seek things. If we seek God, the things will follow us at the right time, in the right portion, in the right way. I do believe that God wants to bless us and meet our needs, but that's not anything we have to be concerned about.
Yeah,
if we chase him, then he'll take care of all the rest of that. It's, you know, so many people just have what I call, they try to put God in a little Sunday morning box, and they like to bring him out on Sunday morning and feel like their duty's fulfilled for the week. But God wants to invade Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He wants to be involved in everything concerning us, not just some little spiritual sacred department that we keep him in. He wants to be involved in your whole life.
Well, we call that integrating your spiritual life into all of your life. And if you don't do that, you're going to have about 1/7 of the benefit that you would have if it was integrated in all of your life all of the time. Well, when we come back, I would like you to talk about how do you practically make today different from yesterday. And and if we can focus on that, then I think every day can be different than yesterday. And I know that it really can. And I know that some people are thinking, no, this doesn't apply to me. I am not going to ever be blessed. I am going to continue to struggle every day of my life. And it's not true. Now, let me give you a phone number if you want to join us on radio and television. And that is 1-800-229-3000. If you want to see all of this, our interaction with Joyce, you can go to tv.newlife.com. That's where it's going to be. And it's so much more personal than anything we've ever done on radio. And so many people have a personal relationship with Joyce because of the television work that she's done. And we're delighted that she's joined us on our little TV network and then also for radio. But I hope and pray that if you are struggling with regret of the past or dread for tomorrow, that you will stay tuned. And we're going to come back and talk about how can I practically make today different than yesterday. We'll be back. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com, tv.newlife.com. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with my guest, Joyce Meyer, and we're talking about her new book, You Can Begin Again. Now, all of us that write books, we want to do it to influence people. We want to do it to help people have a better life. I want to tell you, as I was reading this book, I really felt like that Joyce cared about me. And when I say me, I mean you also. And so if you want a book where it seems like she's walked in your shoes, she's been through the struggle that you've been through, and she's come out and she has some wisdom to help you get unstuck and you get out of the mess that you're in, I can't recommend a better book than You Can Begin Again. Now, Joyce, I want to take a phone call here in a minute, but first, let's just talk about a practical way or some of the ways that you list in here to make sure that today is going to be different than yesterday.
Well, first of all, you have to make your mind up that the promises of God are for you and that they're not just for everybody else, but you have to decide that God is truth He doesn't lie.
Right.
And if he says that I can have a new beginning, then it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think, I can have a new beginning. Hmm. So today, first of all, can be different if I make my mind up that I'm going to step out on a journey of complete recovery with God. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all about what God miraculously does for me, because God is obviously going to show me some things that I need to do, or maybe some things that I need to not do. And the good news is we don't have to be afraid of that, because anything that God tells us to do or not to do, he's going to give us the grace, the ability, the power to do them. And let's just say that maybe, you know, a person needs a new beginning, and they're feeling like that maybe God is really dealing with them about some relationship that's poisonous for them, and they need to get away from that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we never like to lose things in our life, but the thing we have to realize with God is he never, ever, 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 ever asks us to do anything if it's not going to turn out to be the best thing for us in the end.
Yeah.
So we not only make our mind up that today I'm going to trust that God's going to do something for me, but we also say, today I'm going to be ready to obey God in a deeper level than what I ever have before. You know, if I can take just a minute, Steve, I'm thinking about a girl that came to a conference that I did one time, and it was a little banquet thing where people were sitting at tables together and enjoying meals, you know, in between the teaching sessions. And a lot of it was about emotional healing that weekend. And the girl came to me at the end of like a whole weekend. She said, well, I found out this weekend why, even though I've heard all these things before, that my life is not any different. She said, as I sat at the table, so many of the women at the table had had the same things happen to them that I had happened to me, but they were walking in victory and I wasn't. And as I listened, I realized that the same things that God had told them to do, he had told me to do. The only difference was they did it and I didn't.
Oh, well.
So, you know, it's not just about what God can do for me.
Right.
I mean, I need a miracle, I need a breakthrough. But, you know, I've found out that anytime I come up higher in my blessings, whether that's more freedom or more open doors or more favor or whatever, there's going to be a little something else in my life that I'm going to need to let go of by the grace and the mercy of God. So, you know, I had to let go of a lot of bad attitudes.
Sure.
In order for this new beginning package to work in my life. So the second thing we can talk about is praising our way to victory. And, you know, that very simply means that I need to stop complaining. I need to stop complaining about my past and complaining about what I don't have, and begin to really understand the power of praise and the power of gratitude.
Yeah, I was going to say, the focus on gratitude really gets you to the place where you can praise. And that's not easy for a complainer to go to that place of gratitude.
No, it's not. And, you know, I was praying about something one time, asking God to give me something. And I very clearly felt like in my heart that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you know, you're already complaining about everything you have. Why should I give you something else to complain about? And so, you know, we think, well, if God would just do this, then I'd be happy.
Right.
But the truth is, if we can't ever get happy where we're at, we're not really going to ever be happy anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, our happiness can't be based on what's happening.
Right.
It has to be based on the fact that, hey, we're saved, we've got hope, we're not alone, God's with us, he promises to work good out of the bad things. So stop the complaining and start thanking God, not based on how you feel. Let God take over the construction project is the third thing I talk about in the book. In other words, I can't change myself. I can't make myself feel differently than the way I feel. I can't even make myself not resent the people that have hurt me in the past. But if I really put God in charge of this Joyce Meyer overhaul that I need, then God will do it his way, in his timing, and he'll never go too fast. He'll never go too slow. He'll put the right people in my life at the right time, and I just need to trust God to change me. I believe God will change me.
Amen.
And then number four is understand that your history is not your destiny. So no matter what your history's been, that's not your future. God's got a good future plan for you. So if you believe those things, if you're willing to even think about believing them, today can definitely be a new beginning.
Amen. You're listening to Joyce Meyer here on New Life Live. Her book, You Can Begin Again, and it is for you. It is for everybody, because it doesn't matter where you are or what you've done. You really can begin again. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bob at 1-800-229-3000.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
2 years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more. Then, from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
You can reach Gil Travel at 1-800-223-3855, extension 240 or 260.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. My special guest, Joyce Meyer. She's written this wonderful book, You Can Begin Again, and we're going to talk to Bob on the phone. But before we do, I have to talk about a little reality here. You know, April, we've kind of had a rough month, and Larry Sonnenberg came in and said, you know, about $10,000 a day is what we're trying to make up for. And so we're not desperate, but it does add up. And if you can help us, one of the best ways you can do it is to give to the scholarship fund, and that allows somebody to go to Every Man's Battle, or maybe Wives or Women in the Battle, or Healing is a Choice, or our Marriage Workshop. But when you put somebody through that, and you know, we've had 11,000 men go through Every Man's Battle and the counseling that takes place and the healing. When you put somebody through that, I don't know of any better direct way to help somebody begin again. And you can begin again, going from being a hoarder and being stingy to beginning again in a life of generosity. And that's one of the greatest places that you can ever be, is in that generous place. So if you can help us, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Let's go to Bob from Columbus, Ohio, and, you know, we're on Skype. I hope that this is all going to connect up all right, and Bob listens to us on Sirius XM. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. I'd first like to say what I have heard so far from Joyce in the last half hour has just been outstanding and spoke to my heart, and I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, you'll love this book, and we'll get a copy of the book to you.
Why I'm calling today, I have a sister who lost her husband about 16 months ago. She has had an extremely difficult grieving period and is still there, and I have been very, very supportive of her. However, she has expressed a lot of her grieving publicly in Facebook, from anger at people that she didn't feel supported her enough, people who have not been there for her, and her pain and suffering and so forth. And I've just been there to support her all along. And but she has publicly on Facebook called out my wife a couple of times because my wife is taken exception to how public she's been with her grieving. My wife is an extremely private person. The last time that she did this, it was a few weeks ago, I had to communicate with her and say, don't do this again. You cannot do this anymore.
Okay, so what's the question?
She's cut me off. I'm going to get to my question
okay.
here. I'm a very black and white person, and I would really like to sit down with my sister and just have a just get it all out on the table. You can't do this publicly. I feel your pain, and I just don't know how to do it because my family's telling me if you do it how you normally do it in your personality, you're going to shove her away.
Now,
but
Bob,
I don't know any other way to do it.
Bob, because we're limited in time, I want to hear what Joyce has to say. But my take is that that your wife probably needs to have a conversation with her to tell her that she's sorry for calling her out publicly on it, and because everybody deals with grief and suffering and pain in different ways. But Joyce, what do you think is a way to make peace here in this situation?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't do anything without some prayer first. You know, I'm a confronter, but I had to learn in my life that you don't ever confront anything without praying, first of all, for God to pave the way, and secondly, for right timing.
Yeah.
Timing is so important, and that's usually not my time. It's God's time.
That's right.
And then also, I would really like to encourage our brother to realize that hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the quickest ways to be able to forgive somebody is to realize that the sister is acting out of her own pain.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that what she's doing is right, but she is acting out of her pain and probably even a lot of fear about her future and
yes.
what to do. And, you know, she needs to look more to God, and then it would help her not to be so mad at all the people that are not giving her what she wants. But it is going to be important. I don't disagree with sitting down and talking to her, but it does need to be in a firm but a loving way, realizing that, mm-hmm. you know, she is hurting. And just, you know, maybe give her a little more space and time. You know, one of the things I've learned about grief is it's one thing to grieve over a situation. We need to do that. That's mm-hmm. healthy. But it's another thing to allow a spirit of grief to get in your life. And it sounds to me like if she's 16 months down the road and still that angry, that maybe she's dealing with an actual spirit of grief. And so a good way to maybe help her would be to say, you know, it's right for you to grieve, and we're sorry that we were not able to meet all your needs, but maybe that's not what God wants. Maybe
yeah.
He wants to meet those needs in a very special way. So we recommend you go to Him and not be angry at people.
Yes, very good advice. And just remember, Bob, the word compassion is really important, to have compassion on her. But I agree with Joyce, you know, you reach a point where you have to say, it's time for me to move on, to begin again, and I've really
right.
got to get this grief behind me if I'm going to live the life that God has called me to live. Let's talk to Deborah from Hazen, North Dakota. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. How could we help you today?
Well, first of all, I just want to tell Joyce thanks so much for her ministry. I've really grown up in the Lord because of her. And I have a question that, like, about generational sins, I guess, would be the best thing.
Okay.
Is because I went through a divorce, like, almost 17 years ago, and I have 6 children, and some still haven't forgiven. And my father, who left when I was 11, and I'll be 57, he is now wanting me, in his last years of life, to be with him. And I'm okay with that. I've forgiven. I've done everything. But I just wondered, I see a lot of the generational things, and I don't know how to do that, I guess, pray about it. Or because I see some things that happen between my family with my dad and my sister's siblings is the same issues my children are having with me because of the things from the past.
Okay. Generational sin. Huh? I just repeated generational sin for Joyce to talk about a little bit.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously, all the bad things that happen to us are provoked by the devil. They're certainly not God. And he loves to travel from generation to generation if we let him. But we have the name of Christ and the blood of Christ to draw across our generational bloodlines. And, you know, I think about my own situation with my dad. You know, he was abusive, and I could have easily become abusive also, except for Christ in my life. Now, when we hold unforgiveness towards someone, it does open the door for those sins to be repeated in our life. You know, Jesus told the disciples when he appeared to them that whose ever sins you forgive, they're forgiven, and whose ever sins you retain, they are retained in John chapter 20. I think a lot of times if we don't forgive people, then we retain those things in our soul and we act them out again. So it is very important for her children to forgive, because when we don't forgive, we just poison our own souls. But I don't think that anybody has to be afraid because, you know, it happened to mama, now it's got to happen to me, and because it happened to me, it's going to happen to my kids. That's really exactly what the devil wants us to believe. We need to believe, just like we're teaching here today, that every day is a new day. I'm a new person. I've got a new life. And I don't have to repeat the same things that happened in my past. And you really don't want to let yourself be afraid of that.
Yeah.
Because if you're afraid of that and you voice that fear, you're really just opening the door for that to happen. So if I were you, I would just call an end to that kind of thinking and talking today and just say, this is a new day. And, you know, your children, her children are going to have decisions to make, just like she had decisions to make. And if they won't make the right decisions, then yes, the same thing could happen. But it doesn't have to happen because it's happened to somebody else.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you called. And, you know, one of the things you point out in your book, Joyce, is that we need to forgive those that hurt us. And it is a choice that you have to make to do that. It just doesn't happen. You have to choose to forgive. And I think it's one of the more powerful things that you say in the book, and I recommend it highly. You can begin again. Well, when we come back, we've got one final segment with Joyce, and I want to remind everybody that you can see this entire interview on tv.newlife.com, and you just go to tv.newlife.com and you just click on it, and I think you're going to be amazed at some of the information that's there from Henry Cloud, John Townsend, Shannon Etheridge, and all the rest. But we would love for you to begin again. And Joyce's book really is a great way to start over. And, you know, the subtitle, no matter what, it is never too late. And I think a lot of people think it is, and it isn't. And if you read this book, I think you're going to be motivated wherever you are to start over and to make a new beginning with the Lord by your side. We'll take this break and we'll come back with more Joyce Meyer right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we're talking with Joyce Meyer, and later today that this whole program will be up at tv.newlife.com, where you will you'll be taught some things that you've never heard on this radio program, and it's kind of like a place of condensed wisdom there, and I hope you'll check it out. We're going to go to one more caller here, and that's going to be David in Lansing, Michigan. He listens online. And David, you're on with Joyce Meyer, and we're talking about her book, You Can Begin Again. How could we help you?
My wife sat me down 14 months ago to tell me that she wanted a divorce. And over those 14 months, I'd started on a journey that I realized very quickly that I couldn't change the things in me that she said led to this decision, and that I absolutely needed God's help changing things. And so the past 14 months I've been just really pouring myself to God and seeking His will and you know, kind of, my, as she put it, putting Him in charge of the reconstruction project. But over that 14 months, I've also seen the relationship deteriorate further and further. And
okay, now we don't have a lot of time, so I need you to get to your question.
Yeah, this is the question.
Okay.
This last night I found out that she's having an affair, and at this point I've hit rock bottom.
Wow.
And I'm really struggling.
Oh, man. That is tough.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you want me to respond, Steve?
Sure. Please do, Joyce.
David, is that your name, right? Was it David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that comes to my heart to really encourage you, first of all, I know you're devastated. I can sense it. I can hear it in your voice, and I totally understand. But the thing that I feel like that God wants me to encourage you with is to, the changes that you're seeking in your life, don't do it to get your wife back. Do it, first of all, for God, and secondly, for yourself. Do it for God, and do it for yourself. Don't do it for somebody else. And you know, yes, we all want to be able to turn the things around that have happened in the past, but if she won't forgive you and she's not willing to renew, at least you're doing what you should be doing before God to try to do your part, and you can't do somebody else's part. So I just really want to encourage you not to give up on your life, not to give up on your future, because God still has a good plan for you, and don't waste your mistakes. You can learn from the mistakes that you've made, and you have to realize that if she's not willing to forgive you, then, you know, that's not the right way for her to behave either.
Right.
And if she's having an affair, then that's not a right thing for her to do either. So you can take responsibility for what you've done wrong, but you can't take responsibility for what she's done wrong. And like I said, I know you're hurting, but please don't give up. Please make right decisions for yourself and for your relationship with God.
Hmm. All right. Now, David, I'm going to send you a copy of You Can Begin Again. I can't think of anybody that it would be more appropriate to. And let me tell you what we're going to do. If you know, there's so much interest in this interview. If you go to tv.newlife.com and you subscribe, we're going to send you a free copy of You Can Begin Again. We'll just give it to you as our way of saying thank you for being part of tv.newlife.com. So that's a really easy way to get a copy of this book that can change your life. And I want Joyce to finish up our program by talking about something that I just think is so right on, and that is to talk about holding out for a suddenly. And what is that? What does that mean?
Well, actually, I just happened to read Exodus 33 this morning in my Bible reading time, and it's the story, the part of the scripture where I base this idea of a suddenly on. And, you know, God had, Moses had said to God, "Show me your face. I want to see you." And God responded back, "No man can see my face and live, but I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over you and hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will pass by. All of my goodness shall pass before you, and you won't be able to see my face, but you will be able to see me from behind." And as I was pondering that scripture one day, I saw so clearly that God was just saying, "You can't always see me coming, but you certainly know when I've been there."
Good
and
point.
So it's like, God in some ways likes to sneak up on us, you know. He's like, he wants us to believe without any evidence that he's working in our lives. That's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, not the things that we do see. So we have this faith relationship with God where we believe through his word and his promises that God is good and that he is working in our lives. As long as we're believing, God is working. That's so important for people to realize that as long as you're believing, every time you say, "God, I trust you. God, I believe you're working in my life. I believe you're changing me. I believe you're teaching me." God is working. You may not see it, but God's coming. He's on his way. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you'll reach that day where you're like, "Oh my gosh, that was God." You know, it's like things can change drastically in a moment.
Amen.
With God.
Yeah.
And so I encourage people to believe that your breakthrough may be in the next 5 minutes. It may be tomorrow. It may be tonight. But every day, wake up with that expectation, aggressive expectation that something good is going to happen to me today.
Well, I so appreciate those words. And I know that others will appreciate many other words in this great book, You Can Begin Again. We have scratched the surface on it. Now, I'm going to do two ways you could get this book. One, if you will make a gift to New Life, I'm going to send you this book. But also, if you sign up for tv.newlife.com, the first 100 people, maybe we'll go beyond that, but if you put the code Joyce on there, we'll send you this book, and it will help you because all of us need to begin again every day. His blessings are new every morning, and we need to be ready to receive those. And if you're complaining and you're griping and you're living in your regrets or you're dreading the future, this book is going to set you free from all of that. So please call us. Support us. Help us if you can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. And later today, watch all of this interview with Joyce Meyer, our special guest, on tv.newlife.com. Joyce, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And I just pray that people will pick up this book, and it's going to be the beginning of a whole new life for them.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.
God bless you. And again,
thank you.
If you would like a copy of this book, just put on tv.newlife.com the code word Joyce, and we will send it to you, and you will enjoy it. Now, also a gift of any kind of New Life, and I'll send you this book because we believe in the teaching in this book, and you will be changed. If you make the decision to do the work that it requires to begin again. But God wants you to, and he wants you to start right now. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. We'll see you next time right here on New Life. Bye-bye.
Thank
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.